Hi, good morning, everyone. Or I should say Miriam and Jess. That's Albanian for good morning. In Albania, everybody asks you how you are, which is si jeni, and you reply mia. And actually, you can have 101 conversations by just saying mia, because they say mia, mia, shumia, mia. It can go on for hours. But so, si jeni?
Mia.
Wonderful. So it's lovely to be back, and there's so many new people at HBC. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Kim, and for the last 8 months I've been living and working as a volunteer teacher in Albania. Now this is a talk, not a sermon. Make me a bit nervous to say I'm doing the sermon. And I could go on for hours about Albania, and I think you'd have all like, you know, given up and fallen asleep by the time I finished talking about all the things I did in the last 8 months. So I've just kind of cherry-picked the things that I thought were really important, that kind of led me a bit further in my faith, kind of reflected in my heart, and I thought would be good for me to share with you. And I've picked a little Bible verse for each sort of those little areas about how I was feeling or where God was leading me. And my first little verse is Isaiah 30, verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or you turn to the left. Because this little adventure of mine started right back in April 2018, when I visited Kishilirja, the church that we are currently supporting in Albania. And I met at that church the head teacher of a mission school, GDQ, in Tirana. And as I think I've said before, but I feel I have to go over it a bit for the newer people, the chances of us both being in that church on that day was almost impossible odds, because Suzanne, the head teacher, hardly ever attended that church, and I had one chance to be there in a whole year. But that's how God works, isn't it? When he wants something to happen, he defies the odds. Not a coincidence, but a God incidence. And Suzanne planted that seed in me, telling me about the school, it always needs volunteer teachers. And once that idea was in my mind, I kind of knew that God was giving me that little job to do. Now, when we went to Albania with our lovely youth group in 2019, I went and visited the school. And just to show you how important prayer is, just before I went, we stood in that huge park in Tirana by the lake, and all the young people gathered around me and prayed for me, and they asked God to make it clear whether what he had planned for me, you know, was the right thing. And I jumped in the taxi, went to the school, and I walked in and felt at home straight away. I had no doubt that this was the right move to make. So I had interviews and references, and I asked BMS if they would support me as a volunteer. Oh, and I was ready to go in September 2020. But of course, we were in the middle of a pandemic, and COVID struck, and everything ground to a halt. So Psalm 27, verse 14, became the verse of that year. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage, but yes, wait for the Lord. So I spent a good part of that year actually wrestling with my conscience. Should I go as planned in the middle of a pandemic to a country with extremely poor medical care? Was I letting everyone down? Was I letting God down because I was staying at home? It was really tough. And I delayed until January 2021, when we all thought, well, the pandemic will be over by then. Of course it wasn't. Anyway, I won't bore you with all the details, but after a long wait, finally, October the 23rd, 2021, I got to Albania. But you know, it took a lot of courage to go, to finally go. So this was my next verse that I feel it's good to reflect on. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armour of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because I'm just wondering if there's some things in your heart at the moment that you feel God is asking you to do. And I'm wondering if you felt like I did just before I left Histon. because Histon in the autumn had never looked more beautiful. Work and my two schools in the UK never seemed better. Chris and Kate arrived at HBC and everyone was excited and I was missing out. My little dog, who I had to leave behind, could never have looked cuter. It was really hard to leave, but I was still excited to go, and I had to push all that temptation to stay aside. Put on my armour, drove to Luton Airport, fired out some flaming arrows against the devil's schemes, because he was trying to keep me here, and I got to Tirana. So, my main volunteer role in Tirana was working in a mission school. Oh, and here it is, this is GDQ, in the middle of a very busy street in an area called Don Bosco. And GDQ stands for Gerasim Dimiter Chiriazi. And this is this guy. And he was, in the 1800s, the founder of the Albanian church in Albania. An educator, way ahead of his time, and he opened the first school for girls because he thought if you educated the girls, they become mothers and they had influence over their sons. Because throughout the 19th and 20th century, the Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, Islam, the religion was freely practiced in Albania. And if you don't know much about the history of Albania, from 1946 to 1991, it became a totally closed communist state, closed off to the rest of the world. The people in Albania who lived through that period told me that they were told that the state fooled them into thinking that they were being looked after, that they had more food, more wonders and glory than anyone else in any other country, and to protect them and to stop us outside Albania stealing it from them, they closed and guarded the borders. No one came in, no one came out, and the Communist Party banned religion. There's awful exhibitions of the sort of torture and imprisonment that went on, and a lot of those people were starving, and the people that you talk to, you know, have really traumatic memories of that period. So the country didn't become free until 1991, and then in that time, many missionaries came back into the country to reintroduce Christianity and to help the country get back on its feet again. And that's where GDQ was born, because the mission families needed a school. So, you know, this is like 1991, seems like last week to me. It started then with six preschoolers in the front room of an apartment, and over the last 30 years, it's grown into a fully accredited international school. But the needs of those children remain the same, because missionaries' children sometimes go through, you know, quite a difficult time. They travel all over the place, they come and go from countries, the children are often uprooted, and they need a safe place. They need an education, which Albanian schools can't offer them, and they need somewhere where they can come back to and feel they have that stability. So the school is totally run by support from American churches, and from donations, and for some sort of sliding scale of fees for families. And it does employ Albanians, which is great. It's rented, the school buildings are rented, so there's never stability. And as I'm speaking, they are clearing out the high school to move to another building because the landlord took it back. So here's the team. This was Basim, who's the man standing at the front. He's been at the church since the 1990s, and they are like the guards and caretakers. And they really look after all of us. They don't let anyone in that building unless they know who it is. And he was retiring, and we were saying goodbye to him. So there's all the boys and girls that work in the school. They're all volunteers, except for the Albanians, who are paid. And they're all sort of, you know, out of their training comfort zone, really. But they're all there with a heart for God and a heart for the children. And GDQ is always trying to recruit new teachers. They run on faith, and at the moment they do need some more teachers. So my role in the school was sort of helping out a bit with special needs, kind of unpicking for some of the children why their progress was slow, giving them extra support, and helping some of those volunteer teachers with their teaching skills, because they were often in classes, you know, younger classes where they trained for older classes where they trained for younger. Here's some of the children having fun in the playground. Now, that little lad in the middle, he is Brazilian, and there are a lot of Brazilian missionaries around the world. His dad works for Assemblies of God. And he's one of the lads I taught a lot, because last year he was homeschooled because the family were travelling. This year he had a good year in school. Next year they're going back to Brazil. Amos wasn't brought up in Brazil. His Portuguese isn't great, so he can't really go back into school. And he was really upset. You know, the last few sessions I had with him, he was feeling really sad. But he knows he's going to come back to GDQ for his grade 5 year, so he knows that sort of stability is going to be there for him. He's got somewhere to come back to. Now, one thing I did learn about this Americans, there's a lot of Americans in this school, they take basketball very seriously. Where I was like, oh, it's just the kids playing, you know, another game after school. No. It has to have popcorn. It has to have the dun 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 music. It has to have the big scoreboard. My goodness, and do they shout about, you know, who's going to win? So, yeah, it was, you know, the kids have fun, and it's a great place for them all to be. The mission statement of the school is educating the next generation to have the maximum influence for the glory of God. And that school is bathed in prayer. And this is my next verse. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. That's from 1 Thessalonians. Because every morning started with prayer. Every staff meeting, development days became retreats where we really sought God's calling for the next steps of the school and the children. Chapel was held every week, Elevate Friday afternoon for the older kids. They had their own worship band. And, you know, children would gather together for quiet and prayer times, and they had their own Bible study, lunchtime clubs. But they weren't all angels. Far from it. But they did have every chance to grow their faith in Bible knowledge and the power of prayer. And it was rather wonderful to do life alongside those other Christians. And it became life, because we didn't dip in and out on a Sunday. And when you become a supporting group like this, it's easier, much easier, to grow your faith and dig deeper into faith. And that was a huge blessing for me. And that gave me the energy to reach out into other work that was going on around me, because God wanted a bit more from me than just GDQ. And because I was only there for 8 months, I was able to kind of keep going. And here's my next verse, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, Albania is officially a Muslim country. And as religion was banned for a long time, the Muslims kind of call themselves Muslim, a bit like we would say, I'm Church of England for our religion. But there is a hunger for faith. And the extremely poor Albanians greet that Christian message as a sign of hope arriving in their lives. There are established churches in Tirana, but you don't have to drive out very far from the city to find communities who have no access at all to Christian churches or fellowships. There's a huge need across Albania. In the bright lights of Tirana, you see a busy European city, but you scratch that surface, and there's poverty, hopelessness, corruption, drugs, and sex trafficking, and a lot of discrimination. It's a society with no safety net. If you become ill or you can't work, bad luck. And there's so many opportunities there waiting for Christians to show God's light and love in the darkness of a lot of people's lives. So my next text reflects on the people that God chooses to grow this kingdom. And these people are often an unlikely choice. But my goodness me, God can use some people powerfully. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses. And that's from 2 Corinthians 12. because this lovely lady, who's called Anna, is from South Korea. She was called to Albania to be a missionary. She started in a Roma church in Tirana, and I think just saying that kind of magnifies, like, this is a church for the Roma people because no one wants to mix with them. And she didn't want to deal with that. So she felt God calling her to another place to set up a Christian school in Kavaya. Now, Anna is lovely. She is totally unorganized. She has good English, but her accent is really difficult to understand. She can't speak Albanian, even much as she's trying. She is really shy, and she finds it difficult to explain her ideas. And she is probably the worst driver I have ever sat in a car with. You actually co-drive when you drive with her. She gets to a junction and says to me, "Should I go?" And I'm like, because I'm on the wrong side of the road. "Yes, which way? Which way, down here?" I'm like, "Yes." She's bad. But God gave her this vision. He gave her a vision in a dream, which she considered was a huge privilege. And he said, "Build me a church, build me a school in Kavaya." And in fact, in the last 30 years, this is an area no one has succeeded. And her Korean friend said, "Don't go there. They drive Christians out of there. They physically throw you out." My goodness me, Anna has a faith, and she is stubborn. And she's the perfect example of power made perfect in weakness through God. And she would never seem the first choice for a task like this. So when I arrived in October, her mission work had been running for about 6 months, and she had a lovely girl called Sunita working with her from an Albanian university. And this girl was really eager to hear about Christian faith, and some of the children who lived in her village, she started to sort of chat to, and this was just outside Kavaya. And she told Anna that learning English opens many doors for work for Albanians. And although they learn it a little bit at school, they don't get many opportunities to hear English from native speakers. So Anna said, "Well, I'll do a Saturday morning school, and we'll teach English," even though she couldn't do it herself. "But it's going to have Bible stories, and it's going to have fun, and it's going to have games, but it's going to be Christian." And amazingly, the Muslim families, okay, we'll send our children to this. And so she started her little Saturday school in a little house in the village. And Anna was the one person, lots of people, but really the lead person who made me feel that God had put me in that right place at the right time. Because if I'd gone out the year before, during COVID, our paths wouldn't have met. So there we were, most Saturday mornings, driving out of Tirana, praying for safety in the car. We did land up in a muddy ditch on one occasion, and I had to drive us out of it. We were always getting lost. And as we drove, we prayed that the children would come, and we prayed for relationships with their families. And Anna would scuttle back during the week when I was teaching and try and meet people in the village and in Kavaya. I don't know how she did it, because she can't speak Albanian, but she said Mir a lot, and they had coffee, and she kind of did it. So I said, "Anna, I think we need to have some team meetings to do a bit of planning." So in November, as more teachers came on board and we got together rotas and ideas for teaching week by week, we then started planning Christmas. And at the very last minute, I slung in my suitcase, I don't know why, a CD of a nativity play songs that I've done here at HBC. And so when we talked about Christmas, I said, "Hey, I know what I've got in my bag. We'll put on a play." So here we are, just coming up to Christmas. Oh, this is Kavaya. It's a typical street in Kavaya. This is me. There's going to be a landlord in Albania somewhere going, "I know I had some striped sheets in this apartment because I chopped up most of it. But I did leave some replacements." And these are the kids learning the songs. But they learnt it in English, so it was great for their English. And here they are, performing the very first nativity play. So we made the costumes, we taught the kids, we practiced a lot. Oh my goodness, their singing was bad. They'd never done anything like this before. We had a little audience, a few people when we performed. And those children experienced the wonder of a first Christmas and that special baby. And there they are, the little shepherds. and baby Jesus with an angel. And there they all were at the end, feeling very pleased with themselves. It makes me laugh because they all do this. It's the Albanian eagle, and we spend about 5 minutes going, oh, yeah, yeah, that's how you do the eagle. And that's from the Albanian flag. And they were very proud of themselves. And then the lovely Anna, I flew home the next day. She stayed and visited all the families on Christmas Day with gifts for them. In the new year, our plans grew. We carried on praying. We prayed for a church building, a minister, some more children and more help. That was January. We knew we were asking for a lot. Oh my goodness, God didn't hang around. By February, Anna and I had met with an Italian pastor with a Brazilian wife from Assemblies of God. He had a building in Cavaia that he wanted to use, but no one to do the children's work. They were all busy in another city called Duras. And I was really able to help Anna through this because Emmanuel's Albanian was better than his English. He couldn't understand Anna's accent. Anna couldn't understand him. She can't really express very clearly. She's got all these ideas, but she can't get it out. But anyway, we met, and he got an idea of what we were trying to achieve. So we opened the building. He said, we've got a minibus. We can move the children from the village into Cavaia. He began an evening worship service. And in March, here are some people that you might know, Andy and Katrina. There they are in our new building. I even roped them in to come and teach English. Now, when I left Albania, Sunita, the girl who started it all, her mum, her next door neighbours and her daughter were all attending church weekly. Saturday school is now closed for the summer after a lovely holiday club, and it will reopen in September. Anna is surely making disciples for Christ. Now, my next Bible verse introduces a wonderful team, which is called Tekura, and that means at the bridge in Albanian. And there's their community centre in the poorest part of Albania. I mean, just awful. Some of the houses fell into the river, little shacks fell into the river, and a lot of people were badly injured and some were killed. I mean, it's a real sink area. And my verse here was, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, to be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's from 1 Peter. Because Dan, who was a social worker, now a Baptist minister, and Annie, who's a physiotherapist, are truly using their many gifts for God. So they've been there since 2016, and they wanted Tekura to become a bridging point for divided sections of the community. When they got there, people would not even meet in a room together. There was such an intolerance of ethnic diversity and so much prejudice. They couldn't even share a meal together. And if they put food out, people just grabbed it off the table because they thought they weren't going to get any more and took it home. They couldn't share anything together in that community. But now in 2022, through God's grace, there is so much happening in that little community, it's almost difficult to know what to include. Because there's a vibrant and busy church community, and it's led by an Albanian pastor, not by Dan. And there's groups for men, I mean, talking about, you know, home groups, how it sustains you. There's groups for old age pensioners, mums and kids, Bible study, and a youth group. And their aim is to keep on training up more Albanian pastors and leaders, giving it sustainability. There's a rehab program where Annie provides free physical therapy for kids who would not, and adults. There's no health service to provide you with that. There's a skills program, and that's offering English lessons for refugees, Afghani refugees. Albanian lessons for the Afghan refugees and English lessons for the Albanian kids. It does something simple like helping the Roma children get a place at preschool. No one helps them. If no one fills in the forms, they don't go. If no one gives them a pair of shoes, they're not allowed to go to school. It provides desks and books and pens and creates study areas in little houses so children can do their homework. And GDQ partnered with Tekura to buy all the kids' school bags and books. And this is where I was able to help, because the girls running these skills programs were social workers and not teachers. And so as their sort of lessons kind of went on and got more complex, they needed help with planning lessons and assessment. There's a Connect programme there because it becomes a safe space for everyone. A stone's throw from a homeless centre and the refugee centre, it supports women at risk from sex trafficking and drug taking, and men. Dan, who is such a mild-mannered, sweet little guy, it's such a lovely man, spends a lot of time meeting with the mafia lead in the area, having coffee with him, and he just sort of takes it all in his stride. And there's a recovery program. It's all about supporting people back into work or helping people made homeless. And most importantly, developing community action. Not us asking for help, but the Albanian people asking for help, showing them how they can empower themselves. And obviously through COVID, it was all about emergency food supplies because there was a huge, serious lockdown in Tirana and people couldn't work. There was no furlough money. People starved. And look at this church now. That's their church. They took everybody to the beach. This was about 2 weeks ago for a day out. Some of those people had never been to the beach before. It's 40 minutes away from Tirana. And here's like the one that always makes me want to cry. There they are, baptizing people in their community together. That's just amazing. That's another community learning to do Christian life together and an example of that early church that we've just heard about in Acts 2. In Acts 2 it says, they devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship. They broke bread together. They had everything in common, sold property and possessions to give to those in need and met with glad and sincere hearts and praised God. And more importantly, the Lord added to their number the baptism. God's prescription for church growth. And if we take care to follow that example, then God will take care of growing the church. So I'm wondering if anyone here today is hearing God calling them in the way that he has, planting that little germ of an idea in the back of your mind, which keeps on picking up to bother you like a little itch that you can't scratch. And it doesn't have to be what I did, traveling off across Europe. No, mission is all around us. So have a little think. Is that little scratch there in your head? Let's recap on those Bible voices. Are you listening to God? Are you waiting and doing things in God's time? Are you feeling, and you will, the devil tempting you away? He doesn't like it when people start to have that mission focus in their hearts. Put on your spiritual armor. And you can see from Anna, you do not have to be the perfect person for the job. I certainly wasn't. You should have seen some of my maths lessons for middle school, grade 7. It was a car crash. Never stop praying and never stop asking yourself, are you using your gifts? Are you using your gifts to serve others? And then what do you gain when you do step out? It's scary. And, you know, I admit I reached a point where I was like, I think I'd rather just stay in Histon. Well, you get that wonderful feeling of serving God in the right place at the right time. And our Christian life is meant to be like that, full of fellowship, because we share the same Lord Jesus, the same guide for our lives, the love of God and a desire to worship him. And in that, we share our struggles and our victories and the joy of communicating the gospel. So in Albania, by working at GDQ, supporting Anna and Tekura, I was so blessed to have found all those things that being a Christian has to offer, and without doubt, it grew my faith. And if that's what you want in your lives, listen hard, because for sure God wants to use you. Now, I can't finish until I show you some pictures of how beautiful Albania is. This is Fia, one of the archaeological sites. And it's like typical Albania. Oh, yeah, wander wherever you like. So, you know, people take bits home. This is the grounds all around Fia. It's an old Greek temple, Roman. It's beautiful. These are the mountains in Pamet. Just an astonishing scenery. This is Berat, which is the city of 1,000 windows. And that little chapel right on the top of the hill, we walked right up there, it nearly killed me. That little chapel at the top there is a Christian chapel. The other side of the river is a mosque. That's a Turkish bridge that's been there for like 1,000 years, and that's hot springs, all that water's hot. And that's Skanderbeg Square, and Skanderbeg is the sort of Albanian George and the Dragon kind of type person. It's an amazing country. It has a sad past and a difficult present, but my prayer is that with God's grace, the love and support of mission workers across the country, Albanian Christians will be able to develop and sustain a strong church that will give them the hope and the promise of a better future. So, Falemendirit, thank you for listening to that. The Ezoti Bukhafta, that's may God bless you. And please keep Albania in your prayers.